Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. We are on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting fresh today with the very important sugya of Pasa Bo B'Kisnin, of that which comes during the meal. Do you have to make brachos on it or not? Okay, so Itmar, there are going to be three opinions, okay? You got a hold cup. We have the following. You bring in front of somebody figs and grapes in the middle of the meal, in order to sweeten the meal. Opinion number one. Those fruits, te'un and bracha lefneim, they require a fruit, a bracha, a borei pre'eitz before you eat them, because they are not tafel apas. They are not secondary to the bread. Okay? And the bracha of hamotzi will not exempt them. That's number one. Ve'ein te'un and bracha lachareim, and they do not require a bracha afterwards, okay? They do not require a bracha of ala michya, because benching, birkas hamazon, will exempt those particular items. Vichein, similarly, Amrav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, those fruits to unin bracha lefneim, they do require a bracha before, v'ein to unin bracha lachareim, and they do not require a bracha afterwards. Okay, so far that is opinion number one. Okay, now Rashi just points out that these fruits are not coming lelafes es hapas. They're not coming as spread to the bread, because if they were spread to the bread, then they would be secondary to the bread, and the bracha of the bread would exempt them. But rather, sometimes they are brought in the middle of the meal to sweeten the palate, so to speak, right? And therefore, they do require a bracha before, because they're not tuffel to the bread. Okay, now comes along opinion number two, which is the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes amar tunim bracha. They require bracha bein lifneim, bein laachareim. They require bracha both before they're obligated, right? The same thing, because they're not secondary to the bread. It's independent, and they require bracha afterwards, a bracha of mein shalosh of alamichya, because since birkas hamazon is only on the bread, it will not exempt only that which is zon. And these are not zon, they're not satiating you, they're not considered food, so to speak, that fill you up, right? They're not a davar amazin. So therefore, you cannot make a bracha on it afterwards. It says, she'en le, okay, and now they explain, she'en l'chadavar shata and bracha lefana ve'en ta and bracha la'acharov. There's nothing that doesn't require a bracha, that she'en l'chadavar shata, that requires a bracha in the beginning and doesn't require a bracha at the end, except for pas habo bekistin. Pas that was made with spices. This is bread that was not made in a traditional way. There are three famous opinions as to what is pas habo bekistin. Okay, the three opinions that we have for what pas habo bekistin are, here we go. They are, I wrote them down before, I even copied and pasted them off of this thing. They are bread, Shulchan Aruch says, this is the Shulchan Aruch, bread with pockets containing honey or nuts, or it was made from flavored dough, whether instead of putting water in the dough, you use oil, honey, or milk, or it could be brittle wafers, okay? All of those things, pasabo bekistin. So what he's, let's go back to what Rav Shesha says. He says they do require a bracha before and afterwards. She'en l'chadavar shetu. You're already passing shailas. Don't disagree with Rav Shesha. You're correct. Rav Shesha doesn't hold that way, okay? Pashtes? Rav Sheshes is nachum. Let's read. To unim bracha, it requires a bracha ben lefanav. You're correct. She'en l'chadavar shetan bracha lefanav. Ve'ein ta'an bracha lachav. You're correct. There's nothing that requires a bracha before and doesn't require a bracha afterwards. Ela pas habo bekisnin bilvad, with the exception of pas habo bekisnin, where pas habo bekisnin would require a bracha in the beginning and would not require a bracha in the end. Okay. And much ink has been spilled over this opinion. In terms of how to understand it, when exactly is this pas habo bekisnin brought? And now we have the third opinion of that of pligid Reb Chia, they argue on this, opinion number three, Dam Reb Chia, pas, bread, poteres kol minei maichol, pas exempts, when you make a bracha of amotzi on bread before the seuda, that's going to exempt all the things that are brought during the seuda, whether it's the first bracha or the bracha achrona, and furthermore, v'yayin. And he also introduces the concept of wine, poter kol mine mashkim, will exempt you from all different types of liquids. Okay? So if you mevarich alayayin, that's going to exempt you from all different kinds of drinks, whether it's the beginning or not. So let's just review. There are three shitos regarding bringing figs and dates in the middle of the seuda, which is not coming to spread on the bread. The opinion of Rav Huna of Nachman, that it requires a bracha before but not afterwards. The shita of Rav Sheshes, that it requires a bracha before and afterwards. And the shita of Rav Chia, which is that it does not require a bracha at all. So we have three different opinions. So, okay, so that is critical to know. So now how do we paskin? I'm glad you asked, because that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. But you have to have clear the three shitos. So Amar of Papa, Hilchasa, the halacha is dvarin haboy machnas asuda, machilim foods that are brought because of the meal, betocha asuda, within the meal, ain teunin bracha, they do not require bracha lo lefneim velo laachareim. They do not require a bracha before or afterwards, because they are eaten with the bread, and they become secondary to the bread. Anything that becomes secondary to the bread, whether it feeds them normally or irregularly, whether it's fruits or, well, I don't want to say that, whether it's part of the, if it's part and parcel of the meal, it's there to sustain him, and therefore it doesn't require its own independent bracha. But if it comes, shaloi machmas ha-suda, it's not coming to go with the bread, betoch ha-suda, right? So Rashi gives examples of daisa, kruv, and tardin. So that's going to be issues like cabbages and leeks, etc., or you know, something along those lines. If it's that, then what would the halacha be? The halacha, I just lost the place. They do require its own independent bracha beforehand, because they are not secondary to the bread, and therefore bread does not exempt them, but ve'ein t'unim bracha l'achareim. They do not require a bracha afterwards. But if these machilim are brought la'achar ha'suda, if it's brought after the meal is over, like fruits for dessert, this is the big example, then t'unim bracha, they do require a bracha, ben lefneim, whether it's before, ben la'achareim, or a bracha achrona. That even if they're eaten within the meal, right, as long as they're not part of the bread, right, according to this opinion of Rav Papa, the maskana halacha is like Rav Sheshes, that the figs and dates that come within the meal, they need a bracha before and afterwards. Now, interesting, we don't make a separate halacha for the fruit.
What is important. I
don't think we make a bracha
the case here is Shabbat HaMinim that he's saying.
Yeah, but I think we make a bracha before, but not afterwards. You got to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But the standard psak is for fruits that are brought as dessert, you have to make bracha. Whether it's mezonos that comes to you at the end of the meal for dessert, you know, like the peanut butter square that comes at the end, you have to make your own bracha. You got to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. You know, there are all kinds of different opinions in that. But again, fruits, I think, is common that you wouldn't. Tea, you wouldn't. Stuff like that. Those shahakals, candy, I don't know. Again, these are unique halachas, but these are the opinions that are out there. We don't discuss halacha here. I'm not a posek anyway, but you got to, you know, much ink has been spilled over this. It's a beautiful, I think the best thing that was done of this is Rabbi Forst has a beautiful, in his book on, ironically, it's called Brachos. He has a full chapter dedicated to desserts, and it's kedai to take a look there, but to really delve deep into this particular sugya. Okay, Sha'alu as Ben Zoma. They asked Ben Zoma, Ma'amru, Dvarim Aboy Machmas Asuda, Besoch Asuda, Enim Tunim Bracha, Lo Lefnei Velo Lachareim. Ben Zoma asks, why is it that food that is bought in midst of the Suda? Sha'alu as Ben Zoma, that's correct. They asked Ben Zoma, no, if it's brought in the middle of the meal. Why is it that they don't require bracha before or after Amalehem? So Ben Zoma responded to them, Ho will since upas potarason, potaros, potartan, because they're secondary to the bread, and the bread is going to exempt them. So Nachum will they ask them again, Iyachi, if that's the case, no. Let's say somebody puts bread and wine, and he dips the bread and wine, right? Yayinami, niftere pas, that should also be exempt by the bread. Why do they have its own independent bracha? So Ben Zoma says, Shani Yayin. Yayin is different from all other foods, that the bread does not exempt it. Why? Degorim bracha le'atma. That since, in many places, wine is very chashiv, therefore, like Kiddush, Havdalah, and other, and Birkas Chasadim, since wine, that's what Rashi points out, it's very chashiv in so many places, therefore wine gets its own independent bracha, and you cannot be exempt through the idea of hamotzi. Now comes story time. We have two sheets. There's two ways of reading this Gemara. There are two girsa'os. There's the girsa of the Bahag, and which again, they don't make such a difference. in terms of our understanding, the conceptual, what is going on here. So the Gemara tells us the following maisa. Rav Huna ate plesar rifti. He ate 13 loaves of pas habal bekisna. Each was b'nei tilsa tilsa bekava. Okay? Each was the volume of 8 eggs, a third of a kav. Okay, so significant. The low birah. And he didn't make a bracha. Rav Huna didn't make a bracha acharona after he ate it. That's one opinion. The other opinion is Rav Huna ate 13, not breads, but 13 loaves. Each was a third of a kav, and he didn't bless on them afterwards because he wasn't full. Okay, so those are the two opinions. So Amalei, Rav Nachman, nu ade kafna. So Amalei Rav Nachman, ade kafna. These breads you ate because you were hungry, and not the way of normal pasa babakisna, which you eat very slowly. So if you ate very fast, right, you ate for the purpose of the suda, which would obligate your bracha. Now, even though that when you ate it, it wasn't your opinion, but rather, if other people are koveya suda on it, you must make a bracha. Because there's a halacha of what's called the knowledge of one person becomes subsumed to everybody else. So this is a very, very important halacha. Like, for example, pizza. I'm eating as a snack, right? My Rebbe Will says, I don't care. The Velt eats pizza as a meal. So you got a bench on it. It doesn't matter, you know? So I told you this story once before. Wherever I came, when we moved into the building, the croissants. So like, you know, do you make a meal on it? Pasa babakistan. So yes, who has this for a meal? And nobody raised his hand, so then he made him his own. But l'daito eitzel kod. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Yehuda v'asik le'lebrei Rav Yehuda, once his mishadei chisana was a chasana. Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, with the daughter of Yehuda bar Chaviva, so two Rav Yehudas. One was Yehuda bar Chaviva, one was Yehuda. So you have a chasana. Eitzel le'kam, they brought the bread in front of the guests. Pasa babakistan. It was pasa babakistan. Right, so Kiasa, when Rabbi Yehuda saw Shmaya de Kamavarche Amotzi, he heard they were making the bracha of Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So Rabbi Yehuda was a shtickle. Here he is, his chasen, and he could tell what he wants. So he starts making fun of the guests. Amar Lehu, my tzitzi deka shamina. What's this? Meaning Hamotzi, right? What's this tzitzit? He kept using the word tza, tza, because there's no tza in Mizonis. So he says, my tzitzi kama, kash de shamina. What am I hearing? It says, Dilma, ha-motzi lachem in ha-aretz kam v'chayitzu. Maybe you're making a bracha of ha-motzi lachem in ha-aretz. Amrlei, the guests said back in, Taka, we are saying it. We're saying on the bas, ha-pasa ba-bikis, and we're saying ha-motzi lachem in ha-aretz. Why? This sign we learned in the brights of Meir, of Mona, Amr, Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Mona said the name Yehuda, pas ha-bobikisnin, mivarech aleha ha-motzi. When it comes to pas ha-bobikisnin, the correct bracha to make is ha-motzi. Right? Even if you eat it, not to be koveya seuda. V'amar Shmuel halachik Rav Mona, and Shmuel comes along and he paskins like Rav Mona. Therefore, we made a bracha of Amotzi like Rav Mona, which is the name of Shmuel. So Amar Lehu, Rav Yehuda responds to them, no, ain't halachik Rav Mona Idmar. What Shmuel said was not that the halacha follows Rav Mona. You missed a word. What did he say? Ain't halacha. The halacha is nishtazoi. So Amar Lehu, so Yehuda says back. So they said to Rav Yehuda, how could you say such a thing that Shmuel paskins Allah is like that Ravona? Because you said in the name of Shmuel, Lachmaniot. What are Lachmaniot? Rolls, I think so. Halachmania. That's Aramaic. Here is Lachmaniot, which is Hebrew, right? It's like Pasaba Bekisnin, Ma'arvin Bahen. You're allowed to use it to make Eruvei Chatzeros, when they used to join together the chutz, the various homes, to be able to carry in a common courtyard. You need to make it that it's as if it's one person's courtyard. So they would make what's called an Eruv Chatzeros. That's not relevant to us. What is relevant to us is the next line of the Braisa, which is, Umivarchet Alav Amotzi, and you make a bracha of Amotzi on it. So according to Shmuel, one would make a bracha on Lachmaniot, which are Pasa Babakistan, Amotzi Lachem in Haaretz. You would have said, no, you missed the point. You didn't fully understand the opinion of Shmuel. Shani Hassan, that din over there by Lachmaniot is different. Why? Dikava Sudaisa Aleha. Because that's like the example I gave before by pizza. People are Kaveh Su'uda on that Pasa Babikisni. Right? Aval Hecha de lo Kava Sudaisa Alehu. But where there's no Kvias Su'uda on it, where the Velt is not Kaveh Su'uda on it, lo, one would not make a bracha of Amotzi, but rather make a bracha of Borei Minei Mizonis. So therefore, the principle is, once again, if the velt is kovei su'ud on it, one would make a motzi lechem in aretz. But if the velt is not kovei su'ud on it, one would not make a motzi. The big shaila is, you got to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, is when they put on these, like it looks like bread, it acts like bread, and they write on it like mizonos rolls. Garnished. There's no such thing. Right? People are kovei su'ud on it. If it looks like bread, it acts like bread, guess what? I don't care if you made it with apple juice instead of water, it's bread. And therefore, you got to make hamotzi. This whole notion of mizonos rolls is you know, again, that's a shy, the piece snaps. You got to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm not a posek, but the principles I am giving you. Right? The principles are important, and you got to ask what they say. Pizza snaps, I personally make them as own sign, but you know, pizza bagels, I would make hamotzi. The pizza snaps you walk by, yeah, you know, pizza bagels.
This is bagel at the end, so.
Yeah. The shaila is on Pesach. You have this a lot. The, what about the Pesach rolls? They're not, that's not the point. But people are kovei su'ud on it, but at the same time, it's not really even above the sometimes even shackles. So like, it's very tricky, those things, but again. I leave that to the post. Rav Papa Ikla Lebe Rav Huna Breid Rav Nasan. One time Rav Papa was invited to the home of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan, and Rav Papa ate there. Vasu de Gabri Sudais the Kami Midal Mechel after he completed eating. They brought him something additional to eat. Givaldik. So Shog, right? Everyone loves dessert. Shokal Rav Papa Vikachal. Rav Papa grabbed it and started eating. Amrilay, they asked Rav Papa, no. Lo Stravel Amar Gomer Asr Melechel. You didn't hear? Once you say, I'm done, you can't eat anymore. And that's it, because there was a Hesach Hadas, and therefore the original bracha is gone. Amar lahu, so Rav Papa says back, no, Silek Itmar. I only said the word Silek, not Gomer, meaning I wasn't finished with the completion of the Suda. It's not dependent on whether a person says no, finish or not. It's whether you have removed the challah from the table. If the challah is still on the table, even if you have thought that you're done, you're still going. Again, very important. I always leave my challah on the table until we bench. The challah, you know, the challah tray. You leave it on the table. That's the last thing that comes off the table after you bench. But you should leave it, like even during dessert. That stays on the table, because this way, you know, the additional brachas will not be necessary. Rav Reb Zera Ikla Lebei Reish Blus. One time, Rav Reb Zera visited the house of the Exilarch. I think that's the Art Scrollinian word for the Reish Galusa. After they removed the tray from in front of him, Shadaru Leirisa, they brought him another portion of flesh. Mibei Reish Galusa, from the house of the Reish Galusa. So Rava, what did he do? Achel, he ate it. Reb Zera lo achel, Reb Zera didn't eat. Why? Because they already removed his tray, and he didn't make a bracha of Birkas HaMazon, so he felt he was ineligible to eat it. So Amar Leir, Reb Zera says to Rava, no, even if they removed your tray from you, lo sever lamar, silek, Asr melechol, didn't you just say before? Didn't we say that if you remove the bread, you're asr to eat? Amalei, ana ataka de reish galusa samchinan. I am relying on the tray of the reish galusa, since he is. I'm not relying on myself, but rather the tray of the reish galusa. That's the one that is going to be mevar. And since he's the one who's holding, right? You're so make your daf to him. In my house, it works nicely. I have no idea when I eat what's coming in front of me. But whatever my wife knows when the meal is over, I don't. So she's the one who's the gorim. Because she knows that there's more stuff coming out. Whatever comes out, give all of it. All right, have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos. Don't forget, Sunday, 8:03.